You guys, I'm going to be upfront and honest that I'm not going to keep you too long tonight. This chapter was a short chapter in his book. Let me get organized here. Supporting your local ministry. This is an uncomfortable thing, to say the least, for a pastor to talk about. At least some pastors have a hard time talking about it, while others just enjoy talking about it, basically. Well, probably one of these things that we're, in dealing with this, you're looking at a man that often can be accused of, as he's teaching about these things, he's self-serving. He can be accused of being a lover of money, and it's all about greed, and that's all you're wanting to do is just tell us that. I have seen some things and heard some things. The church that I was saved in was anti-tithing, if you will. And it was like it was basically a despised thing to even talk about the word tithing. That's putting people under the law and so forth. But I do believe that the New Testament teaches us to be systematic and organized about our giving. And he specifically is talking about supporting the local ministry. He begins with Galatians chapter 6, verse 6. He says, "Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches." I don't think there's no argument about it. It's just the Bible commands the believers in a local congregation to support their pastor. That's all this is about. But I tell you, there are a lot of people that I think, a lot of men who abuse that. They see that as their one avenue in which, you know, they can increase. And I remember being in the American Baptist Association, and they had problems with men who were on foreign mission fields who were taking mission funds and at the same time working a job down there and not telling nobody they're working a job because they were getting the funds for free. I mean, they've actually had to pull funds from people because they realized you should be making enough that you would be very wealthy in the country you're serving in, and they were working a job on the side to make even more money. Because when you're in a foreign mission field, it's like it's rare that you get checked up on. So there was actually a period of time where they found a lot of missionaries doing that with American Baptist Association funds. And they put a stop to it as quick as they could find it and prove it. So, but understand this, that as men have needs, there's a tendency to get dependent on those needs. And in dependent on those needs, when you are dependent on those needs, the first time there's talk about pulling them away, it kind of changes a person. Makes them more wanting, if you will. I think about what Bridges talks about, where he says we are to share with our teachers, that section on page 107. But the appeal in Galatians 6:6 for financial support, though stated as an imperative, is based not on law, but on love, on the bond of koinonia. The sharing between pupil and instructor is another expression of the relationship they have in Christ. Where this vital relationship of sharing together their common life in Christ is recognized, the appropriate expressions of that relationship will inevitably occur. In the case at hand, it is appropriate for the teacher to share spiritual truth with those who need it to be taught, and it is appropriate for those who are taught to share materially with the teacher. Paul's just bringing something basic to the floor. He's saying, you know, this is something that is a part of how God has established his people. And it's kind of like, and I don't want to go too far on this, but it's kind of like the Levitical priest. And even the Apostle Paul uses as an illustration. He said, you know, even the priest could go and take of the offerings. You know, they could stick a fork in and rake out meat out of the boiling pot and stuff like that. They were taken care of. And he associates it with that need, with that process, if you will. Now, notice that Bridges' text that comes from Galatians is tucked away in the middle of a context from that closing chapter. I want to read more of that chapter to kind of get a backup and a run through of where he pulls that verse from, because I think it's important for us to pay attention just a little bit how he pulls that out. But how does Paul use it in context? Look at Galatians chapter 6 with me real quick. Brothers, verse 1, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in the spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself. Now, I believe he's talking to the brothers and sisters in Christ at the church of Galatia, and he's warning them about how do you deal with someone who is caught in transgressions? Well, try to restore them in the spirit of gentleness. There should be a gentleness applied to it. Why? Because that could be you or me. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too would be tempted. He says, bear one another's burdens. There's a sharing right there, that koinonia, bear ye one another's, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That is something that he says you really want to carry out or fulfill the law of Christ, the law of love. You share. And here he's not talking about money. He's talking about burdens, right? So here, so far, just to recap up to where we're at, he's telling us to share in the responsibility of sin. Okay? We're carrying each other. Then he says, for any burdens, right, we're to carry those together. Verse 3, for if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. Do you see there's two things going on here? One, he says there is a place where we carry or help carry the load. We help share the koinonia in the fellowship, right? But then there's also that personal responsibility. I believe Paul hits both of these from time to time. When he says if a man won't work, he ought not to eat. I mean, that's pretty harsh when you think about it in the American society. You know, we're feeding people all the time that ain't work, lifting a finger. But biblically, we're supposed to be saying you need to be in the process of doing something. You can't just sit on your backside and think everybody should give you something. So he's setting the context for this. For each will have to bear his own load. Verse 5. Let the one who is taught. Now here's where he goes to this. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. Did he change context? You know, these are these verses that we often pull out and say, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever one sows, that will he also reap. I think he's still talking about that responsibility that believers have to take care of those who shepherd them. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary in doing good. He is still processing out. He's still working out that same concept where he's saying, if you have things and it's all about you getting things and you for yourself, you are leaving out others. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. What are we doing? We're fulfilling the law of Christ by sharing those needs. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but he does deal with that on various levels already in the koinonia. You know, we're supposed to give to brothers and sisters in the congregation who are in need. We're supposed to take care of those who are teaching the word. And then we're also to share with those who are missionaries and serving in other places, in areas where it cannot be provided. That's verse 9. And let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially of those of the household of faith. You see, he's not changed the context here. He is still talking about giving that koinonia But he's giving it, he's spreading it out. He's saying it's not just about the shepherd, it's about everybody. And that's what he says on, Bridges says on page 109. He says, the Bible teaches that God wants us to share our possessions with others as an expression of fellowship. We have discussed three distinct groups of people with whom we are to share. Number one, other believers in need. Number two, those who teach us the Word of God. Number three, those who are missionaries, either at home or abroad, with whom we become financial partners in the gospel. So, there is a chapter. I don't know if I'll read it all. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I don't want to go through this whole chapter, but I would recommend that you read it because there are some things in here that I think that Paul is pointing out and I believe are often misused and abused. There are some people in churches that feel like, Pastor, you need to be like the Apostle Paul and not want anything and go work another job and do that. Paul says in this chapter that that's his choice. That's the way he does it. But he said that's not for everybody. That's not what is supposed to be happening. You guys, when we do find a full-time teaching pastor, we need to make sure that we're taking care of them. The best ability that we can, whatever funds we're able to do, that's what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to expect them to go. Look at some of this. Chapter 9. Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are not you my workmanship in the Lord? If to others I am not an apostle, at least I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. So he's establishing his credibility. This is my defense to those who would examine me. Now, he goes through some stuff about being examined. He says, as do other apostles and others. He's talking about having a wife. Talks about Barnabas being that. But look at verse 7. Who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard without eating any of its fruit? Or who tends a flock without getting some of the milk? Do I say these things on human authority? Does not the law say the same? For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle the ox when it treads out the corn, the grain. Is it for the oxen that God is concerned? He's making you think, is that really what this is about, the oxen? Does he not certainly speak for our sake? It was written for our sake because the plowman should plow in hope and the thresher thresh in hope of sharing in the crop. If we have sown spiritual things among you, is it too much if we reap material things from you? Now, Paul goes on to say that I don't. I have it. But he was establishing a practice in the churches that should be. Paul made the decision. He was a tent maker. He didn't take a lot of funds from everybody else. He chose to do that. He didn't have a family as far as we know. So it was Paul was on his own, a single guy, serving the churches. I'm sure he was well taken care of. I would imagine it was rare for Paul to go to a place where somebody didn't know him and invite him in as he traveled. He was taken care of. But as far as taking funds or material things from the churches that he ministered to, he had this idea that I would rather not be obligated to anybody. So I don't want anything. I'll make my own living. He talks about boasting. Look at verse, for I would rather die than have anyone deprive me of my ground for boasting. For if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting. For necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. He said, I'm going to do it whether I get paid or not. That was his motivation. I have a reward. I'm not entrusted with stewardship. Verse 18. What then is my reward? That in my preaching I may present the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. I'll stop there. But y'all read that whole chapter and think about what he's trying to get out there. Okay? I think that's important. That in my preaching I may present the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. He's saying it's my right to take it if I want. But I'm deciding not to. I'm okay without it. But you guys, y'all take a fella that's got a wife and kids, and I know this. For somebody to really get deep into good preaching, it requires a lot of time. That's why y'all, you know, if Nathan and I keep this going on, we'll rotate some. But it's just the idea that I don't have time enough. We're working 5 days a week to try to get anything good together. And y'all, I'm ashamed of it. But back when I was pastoring, I was working at the college and pastoring the church in Wiggins. There was times that Saturday I would create the message for Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon. I did it for Sunday night. So I was 5 days a week, all day study, or preaching Saturday and Sunday. It was like it was rare to take any time off. And I think it wore on me. And I do know this, it affected my preaching too. You know why? Because I would take these little shortcuts. Adrian Rogers makes real good outlines. And I could take and work through those and throw my own little thing in it, and I would use that for the message. Because it got where I didn't have time to really get in and dig out the good stuff that I wanted to share. So I was dependent on others to do it all for me. So, anyway, it's something to think about. I just think if we need to try to take care of a pastor, he should be freed up for prayer and for study. That's what the book of Acts tells us. They should give them their time to those things. So, he closes this towards the end of the chapter on page 109. Bridges writes this. In all these instances, it is important for us to realize that we are sharers, not just givers. The distinction between a sharer and a giver is very important. The giver is under no obligation. He gives from a strictly voluntary point of view. The sharer is under an obligation. Although it is an obligation of love, it is a responsibility of relationship or partnership. And I think that's where we need to think. Yes, you can give, but when you're a sharer in a community, you're responsible for those obligations, as he puts it. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you and praise you for loving us. And just ask your will to be done, all the prayer needs. And Father, teach us from your word. Feeble effort it was tonight, but Father, your word is rich and abundant. And your spirit uses it. May that take place in all of our hearts tonight. I ask all this and forgive us in Christ's name.